Hello and welcome to Sports Report Podcast, episode 21. I'm Billy.
I'm Aiden.
And I'm Alejandro.
Today we will be talking about various topics because we do have 2 weeks worth of topics, some from last week, not a lot, but we do have some that we're going to look over, including Myles Garrett, Gordon Hayward's injury, Stephen Curry updates, and stuff like that. Also, we have some news from this week. So let's get right into it with some NBA news. So, Celtics forward Gordon Hayward, he will be out 6 weeks after injuring his hand in a game
against the Spurs.
Yeah. So, not good. Obviously, Gordon has had so much injury troubles, and he was really looking good. You know, like he was averaging around 20, I think.
And he tied his career high the week before.
So, you know, getting injured. Again, it's going to really suck for him, especially because he got his shooting form back and he was looking really good scoring, and a hand injury is not going to help that at all. We really hope he gets back soon, obviously. The Celtics, though, don't seem like they are really haven't stopped rolling really without him.
Yeah.
Kemba, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum especially have kept them rolling throughout the season. Dale Tice has been a really nice piece. Marcus Smart's been amazing on defense, probably one of the best in the league as of right now. So the Celtics look really good. They did lose to the Clippers in OT though, 107-105. They look pretty good. But we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. And Hayward, when he comes back, I'm assuming they'll have a lot of dominance in the East, and I think they could pull away if they keep staying in this early season form for the East.
Well, the Bucks, but you do have the Bucks. Up with them. Yeah.
Yeah. You have the Bucks. Really nothing much after that. Well, the Sixers. Sixers and the Bucks are the two main guys that are chasing with the Celtics for the Eastern Conference crown. The Western Conference, a little more competitive, but the Eastern Conference top is pretty top heavy, as usual.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you got bottom feeders like the Magic who are still in it all the time.
Yeah. The Raptors are looking pretty good despite losing Kawhi. They are still playing good team basketball, and Spicy P is
looking
very well.
Carrying.
Yes.
Very much.
Pretty much carrying.
Yeah.
I don't think Kyle Lowry is doing anything.
No, he's not doing a lot, though.
He's not doing bad.
He's declining, I mean, because he's older, obviously. Yeah. And
he's only 33, but
he was never really a superstar necessarily. He was just kind of a star player, secondary option to whoever was there.
Yeah, he's been out. Yeah, he's been out.
You don't really expect him to do much late into his career, but he does have a big contract, so that could look bad on the Raptors in a couple years or maybe even after this year. Stephen Curry, after an injury that was expected to keep him out for the year, or possibly pretty much the whole year. Warriors are doing absolutely horrible. Anyways, Curry expects to return this year. At this point, if the team's still looking like that at the end of the season, like they are right now, don't return.
There's no point in risking the re-injury.
It's just the Warriors have looked horrible. You know, Pascal's looked all right, and
They've been bottom in the NBA.
Yeah, they're a worst team in the NBA.
They're literally the worst team in the NBA.
They're 3-13. I don't know how they could get
that's
this.
That's worse than the Knicks.
They went from being in the NBA Finals to being the worst team in the NBA.
Well, that's because they've had a lot of bad injury luck, and people leave.
D'Lo pretty much needs to score everything for the team right now. Just it's not a good situation right now for the Warriors. Victor Oladipo, who is out all of last season pretty much, and into the start of the season. He's not supposed to come back till the new year into the NBA. Oladipo was assigned to the G League for rehab on his knee injury. They're obviously trying to get him going. Usually teams don't put him in rehab for like the NBA. It's more of an MLB thing.
Yeah.
Where they put him in the G League. So kind of weird. I would have expected Indiana to just practice them and practice, but I guess not. They want to play him against in real games.
It makes sense. Julie.
I mean, if Oladipo looks as good as he did when he was healthy, he's going to tear up the G League.
You would hope.
Yes, with
but I mean, it would kind of
Red
Claws struggle.
the Celtics G League affiliate versus Pacers if they had Oladipo would be nice. We've got Taco, Tremont Waters,
Romeo Langford.
Romeo Langford play. Versus Oladipo. That would be sweet.
I mean, Romeo Langford, honestly, he doesn't really play on the Red Claws. I don't know if it's because of injury or just the coach isn't playing him. But.
Well, he's going to come back to the main roster.
Yeah, he was already called up back up to the Celtics.
Yeah.
Because Gordon Hayward got injured.
Damn it, Gordon. Anyway, the Magic are reportedly eyeing DeMar DeRozan. This was reported last week. Why?
I don't know. Maybe they feel that they have the capability to make a playoff push because they're in the East, and they're just going to trade.
They're really not going to do anything.
More guards. Because a lot of their talent is in the front court.
They should just continue to build through the draft. Like, they shouldn't be picking up people that are going to be going into the 30s.
They have Fultz, Gordon. Vucevic is injured.
Yeah, because the talent is in the front court, like Aaron Gordon and Vucevic.
Yeah.
And they're not young, so they need some, they will need somebody in, like,
they're not going to make an immediate impact. And DeRozan's one of the players that you would want to make it, to want to get if you're going to make an immediate impact. And
that's a win now type of move. Yeah, and they're not in a win now situation.
Yeah. They're not going to win the East. And they're certainly not going to win the finals or contend for the finals with DeRozan. So, you know, Magic, they're a solid team with Vucevic. Fultz is looking all right. Jonathan Isaac, I don't know.
He's had a pretty good season.
He's been all right, yeah. Mo Bamba, I'm not even sure if he's playing or not.
I don't know.
He's got to fill off the map.
He's just had a very bad string of, like, just injuries that stack up. Like, not a lot of major injuries, just a lot of minor ones that have been stacking up.
Yeah.
Kind of declined since that song about him came out. No one's heard about him since.
Yeah, he's that's kind of a sad story is what Mo Bamba's turned out to be. Pretty much a bust, it looks like, right now. But
yeah.
Magic keep making magic moves. The Knicks, being the horrible franchise they are, no offense to Knicks fans, because, you know, I feel bad for you. And it's not your fault that the organization sucks. And I think you guys want Dolan gone. Some of you guys are in defense of him whenever we talk bad about the Knicks, but we're not talking bad about the Knicks. Because of you guys, we're talking about the next views of Dolan, and I know you guys don't like Dolan, so stay with me here. Anyways, the Knicks reportedly, they didn't pursue Anthony Davis because he didn't fit the Knicks, what the Knicks wanted to do at all, which I'm assuming the Knicks don't want to win if they don't want to get Anthony Davis. Now, I know that the trade load would be pretty big for Anthony Davis, but if you trade for Davis, you'd probably attract more free agents to the team. Like, you wanted to land KD. So if you guys wanted to land KD so bad, then you would have to pretty much trade for Davis. Because before, if Davis, like, figuratively, if Davis was traded to the Knicks before the offseason started, Durant would definitely have a reason to actually come to New York. He had no reason to come to New York at all. You guys wanted him so bad, but he had no reason to come because there was nothing there. RJ Barrett does look good, but, I mean, no one really wants to join a team that has one rookie player who we're not certain how good he's going to be just yet. No, like, nobody wants to come to that team with just that and barely anything else. So, the Knicks, I'm kind of in the middle on this one, on if they should have traded for Davis or not. I think if they could have brought in KD or someone like that, if they traded for Davis, then obviously do that. But if they were just going to trade for Davis just to have Davis on the team, they would have to give up so much. You saw how much the Lakers gave up for him. I mean, it would be an insane trade. And that's just kind of like trading for Carmelo. It's like giving up a bunch of picks and players, and you don't want to give up your future just to have one superstar and to have, like, basically – the situation that Davis had in New Orleans repeat all over again. So you don't want to have that. Anyways, trashing on the Knicks again. Knicks fans booed Kristaps Porzingis as he returned to Madison Square Garden. Kind of trashy move, obviously. Just nothing much there. for the Knicks fans to boo.
Yeah.
I mean, Porzingis gave you so much. He tried through all your trash teams. He was your best player. He actually brought attention to your team. And you boo him. It's like, come on, guys. Just can we at least show some appreciation for Porzingis, who kept you in the news for all these years in a positive way? He was a good player, but you guys didn't put anything around him ever. So I would want to get traded from the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks are not good. So if Porzingis demanded a trade, then like, who wouldn't?
You only go to the Knicks if you're trying to secure the bag.
Yeah. Who wouldn't try to get a trade from the Knicks? Like, honestly. Yeah. With Dolan in there, until you get rid of him, there's no reason to boo anybody that wants to get out. The big news of this week was that Carmelo Anthony signed with the Portland Trailblazers. Damian Lillard's been clamoring for Melo. Yeah, help. And for Melo to sign with the Blazers for a long time since the summer. This one kind of came out of nowhere. Carmelo finally signs. He's going to wear number 00, so 00, for the Blazers. In his first game, I think he put up like 14 points.
It was pretty bad.
27% from three. Or 20, no, just total shooting, I think. He had 27% total shooting, which was pretty bad. But yeah, he's done all right scoring right now. He's putting the three ball up. The Trailblazers, they are not in a really good position right now in terms of
in the Western Conference.
Yeah,
it was, seemed like a desperation move to me. No offense to Carmelo, signing him seemed like a desperation move because they had nothing better to do.
Yeah, they're just looking bad.
I mean, good for Carmelo that he got the opportunity again, but like, it's not really the type of debut you would want to have if you're him. But like, we'll see how it works out, see if he ends up fitting into the team. But with his mentality, I don't think he will. But we'll see.
Hopefully he can just
accept
be a team player.
You would hope so. I'd like to see him like kind of adapt and kind of like a sixth, maybe eighth man role. Just come off the bench, do his thing, do what the team needs him to do, and not do anything like super
major.
Super like demanding, because we know how he thinks that he should be a starter on every team he plays for. But we'll see.
And the Blazers really don't need they don't need a scorer. They already got McCollum and Lillard, so it's kind of weird why they would just kind of sign another one when they might need a defensive player or something like that. But you know, Melo's, I think, a positive. Like, no matter what on the team, I think he's gonna get you a superstar like mentality.
Yeah,
I'd say. I think he has a good work ethic, and I think he'll bring that to the team. And hopefully, he can bring a winning attitude to the team. But it could go either way. It could turn out like Houston and OKC, where it was horrible, or it can turn out like when he was on the Nuggets, or not obviously the playing level, but in terms of winning. But hopefully it works out. I don't know how that one will go, but we'll see. It should be interesting. The Blazers also waived Pau Gasol to focus on rehab from his injury. I'm guessing they're probably going to pick him up after he is done with the rehab for the Blazers. Mavericks, possibly MVP candidate Luka Doncic.
Certainly a rising superstar.
Yeah, he is the fastest player to record a 30-point triple-double in a game.
It's gone 26 minutes as the Mavericks decimated the Warriors.
Yeah.
That was neat close.
The Warriors are looking horrible. Doncic is looking as good as ever. He's put up multiple triple-doubles this season already. In his second year in the league, him and Trae Young are looking really good for those second-year players. Luka looking especially well. Leading this Mavericks team to already a winning record. And I guess right now that they're probably going to make the playoffs.
I hope they do. I really like how they play and like the chemistry between Luka and Porzingis.
Yeah, they definitely look like a really good duo right now. Porzingis has been all right, but Doncic has just really just stolen the show. He's looked amazing. And hopefully he can just keep it going. I mean, it's great to see that these European players are out here making plays and just doing well. And, you know, Luka is so good. I just can't, like, wrap my head around how good Luka is in his second year, especially for our European players.
Yeah,
so good.
Funny to see all the doubters he had and how people, some people even said he couldn't even improve. Like, what was there to improve on, given his, like, because they thought he's like, oh, he can't get any faster. He can't. He's already there. But obviously, there was so much to improve. He was a rookie, and he's just gotten so much better, seeing the floor, rebounding, everything.
Yeah, he's just been done amazing. I mean, he can play, like, a ton of positions on the floor. He's super versatile. Great shooter, great defender, just great player. All right, that's it for NBA. Now on to college basketball. The Kentucky men's basketball team lost to Evansville, which I believe is in Illinois or Indiana, one of those. I'm just saying that can tell you that this is a very unknown college basketball team. They lost 67-64. Kentucky did to Evansville. This is a horrible loss for Kentucky and just looked really bad on their record right now. I mean, Kentucky, I think that's their only loss right now is to Evansville, which is just atrocious. They also had a really close game with another bad team. Utah Valley, they didn't lose to them, but they won 82-74. They also, after the loss to Evansville, dropped to number 9 in the country. They really haven't played many good teams besides for the start of the season when they played Michigan State and did win that game 89-62, but they played two close games on the 12th and the 18th with that Evansville game, which they ultimately lost, embarrassing, and Utah Valley, which they beat 82-74. Utah Valley, like, yeah, they're just not looking too good. And I'm sure that makes Michigan State look even worse. So hopefully they can rebound, but I mean. So the big thing that we talked about the last time we did the podcast was James Wiseman. And Wiseman, now his suspension has been reduced to 11 games, and he is required to pay $11,500 to a charity of his choosing. NCAA enforced this on Wiseman.
I think that's just very excessive, because as a kid in college, and on an athletic scholarship, you have practices every day and games on the days you don't have practice. So you don't have a job. You're not allowed.
You're not there for a job. You're there for
like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, you don't for your job. $11,500 is probably a lot more than what he has in his bank account right now.
Unless he still has some money from that.
Yes, but paying. but from what I've heard from most college athletes is that living just off of a scholarship
is rough.
Is very, very difficult. Yeah. If you're like, the allowance can barely pay for any type of food that is of good nutritional value for an athlete that needs it.
I mean, I'm sure it's going to be tough for him. It will be interesting to see how fast if he does pay this off. I haven't got news that he's done that yet, but that should be telling, I think.
What's also funny is that the person who paid him in the situation didn't get reprimanded at all. Yeah,
Penny Hardaway didn't
get
anything.
You would think it would be more.
James Wiseman was a kid and he's just accepted it because that was what's better for him. But Penny Hardaway obviously knew the whole situation.
Yeah, you would think it would be more Penny Hardaway's fault than James Wiseman's. Like, the NCAA expects the athletes to be the ones responsible for it. But, like, he's a kid. You don't know, like, his financials. And he might need that money to, like, just.
Especially because he's in their league, so they could give him consequences, but they just don't. He just doesn't get reprimanded at all if he has no consequences for what he did. You know, he knew this situation. According to them, they said he was guilty, so obviously he knows it's supposedly pinning you the whole situation and how it worked.
But if anybody should get fined, it's Hardaway. I mean, he has the money to pay it off, and he was the one to shovel out the money in the first place. So the university, or Hardaway should be paying for this, not Wiseman. I totally agree. Also, him sitting 11 games should be good for the Tigers, as he'll be back for, I believe, like January 12th, and will be able to play into the NCAA tournament if Memphis makes it, assuming they do, which I think they probably will with how good of a roster they have. And I'm sure they'll be fine without Wiseman with how good of a roster they have.
With their short shorts.
Yes, with short shorts. And they have a really bad schedule. So
being in whatever conference.
The American Conference.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Kelly Oubre, Phoenix Suns forward, says he never got money from Kansas after allegations came out that Kansas have been paying players. You know, colleges, it looks they pay players. I think we know this at this point. Most colleges pay players, but there's no real news in this because Oubre didn't like. Oubre's not gonna out his university for paying him in any way, so
he no snitch.
Yeah, I don't think any player would do that unless you're a Micah Fires for the Astros. That will come up a little.
He deserved it.
LaMelo Ball, obviously. There was news that he wanted to go to USC, but LeVar Ball decided to make him go to Lithuania with LiAngelo instead of letting him attend USC.
Yeah, LeVar is very controlling in their lives.
Yeah. No, he's very controlling. You've seen this with Lonzo. You've seen this with
LiAngelo. Lonzo. You've seen him say, like, he's not leaving my brand. Mm. Like, Lonzo's 20, like, 21. He's already a full-grown man in the NBA making millions. Why should you still listen to his dad?
And why are you
like
insist so much that he needs to be a Laker?
Well, like, yeah.
That's just messed up. I think that he made LaMelo give up college ball and go to Lithuania to play for, like, what was a year and was pretty much a failure, ultimately. Now LaMelo's always playing in New Zealand,
to try and get more money.
Yeah. It's kind of messed up. Not kind of messed up. It is messed up. LaVar making noise again.
He's just using his kids to
make money
for himself, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's very, very messed up. Anyways, that's it for the first segment. Sports Report Podcast will be back with the second segment right after this.
Hello, welcome back to the second segment. We're going to get started with the NFL.
Yes, so Tom Brady in a press conference this week said that his defense is now
the
first priority on the Patriots, which is very true. Brady is in somewhat of a decline. Last game against the Eagles had a 55.3% completion percentage, 216 yards, no touchdowns, had no interceptions. But in previous games, like the Ravens, he had one interception and one touchdown. I guess the Jets, he had one touchdown and one interception. Giants, one interception, zero touchdowns. He has been productive, but some games he's just been not that great overall.
Yes, but granted, in the game against the Eagles, it was a very defensive game. No one really had outstanding stats in that game.
Yeah.
So you can look at it that way. I guess if you didn't really watch the game, you would think, oh, why did he play so bad? But, like, if you watched the game, you'd understand it was a very defensive game. Yes, he definitely made a lot of easy throws a lot more difficult than they should have been. He definitely didn't look like the Tom Brady we've been watching in the beginning of the season.
He's 42, so you're not going to expect the world out of him. And he has a great cast around him to help him win these games. And he's looked really good, like against the Steelers in week one. He had three touchdowns, zero interceptions, 341 yards. He's had great games along the way.
Julian Edelman did throw more touchdowns in that game than he did. But, I mean,
yeah. Colin Kaepernick had a workout
in front of various teams.
In front of what was supposed to be around 20 teams, but only ended up with 8 teams.
Because he moved the location.
Locations.
Because he just... this seemed like it was... He just wanted attention. Because if he really... All he cared about was getting back in the NFL, he would have been perfectly fine with the NFL not allowing media to come into his workout. And he would have been perfectly fine with that and would have accepted the fact that 20 teams came to the workout and would have been happy with it. He should be happy with it because he's getting the opportunity. But he says, no, I want the media to be there because I want more attention. So he went to a different site, moved sites. So he lost a bunch of people that were going to go and because he just wanted the publicity.
Mm. And really, there hasn't really been anything – any word of any Kaepernick signings or anything after the workout happened and everything's kind of cooled down. So
they have said that he does look good and he does have a good looking arm, but I really don't see any team being that desperate at this point in time where they really need him to come in and help.
And it doesn't really look like much is going to happen here. It looks
because
like
he's
it's just going to fizzle out.
He's going to want to negotiate for a big contract, but the only people that will want to sign him will want him on a second string role. So it just isn't worth it for any team.
And there's just too much drama around him right now for anybody to take him as a second string quarterback. It's just not worth it.
And even if he does get signed, I feel like it's going to be almost like the Antonio Brown situation with the Patriots where it's like, yeah, we'll give you a shot if your media presence is just way too out there and we're not feeling comfortable with the way you're acting, then we're just going to get rid of you. Because you're just going to put a bad name on our franchise.
All right. So it came out 2 weeks ago that a 17-game NFL season is now likely. They've been talking about this. They've been talking about 18-game season and all that. But now a 17-game NFL season is likely, probably, could come into effect maybe next year after the NFL league meetings after the season.
What's the reasoning for this? Do you know? Because
the reasoning would probably money, as Alejandro is indicating. mostly money. Obviously, I'm in support of it. I think that
more football to watch.
Yeah, more football to watch. Players are going to get paid more, so they're probably going to feed into that.
I think the only downside would be a lot more risk for injury because towards the end of the season is when more injuries you would think it would happen.
It's going to be pretty much the same amount of weeks. It's just they're cutting a preseason game. So it's basically the same amount of time.
I didn't know. Okay. So that's fine.
Yeah. And interesting part about this is they're also looking at possibly like to do something with that extra week. They could have one team play in London, every single team play in London for like one of the weeks of the season, or play in Mexico, or play in a location, or play in a famous college stadium or something like that, like Bryant Denny in Alabama or Notre Dame's field or anywhere like that, which would be really interesting for the NFL teams, obviously, and the college atmospheres to get into NFL teams. So I'm in support of the 17-game NFL season with cutting the preseason game because you're going to have the same pretty much like yearly time at the NFL. Everything's going to start at the same time. They're going to end at the same time. It's just you got more regular season football and football that actually matters. And by the fourth preseason game, everything's pretty much decided who's going to be cut and all that. So I don't think you really even necessarily need a fourth preseason game. So it's good for the fans, it's good for the players, and it's good for the owners. So everybody's happy with this. So yeah. Miles Garrett.
Yes.
2 weeks ago on Thursday Night Football, 8 seconds left in the game, he decides to swing his helmet.
let's start with where the play started.
Yes. So Mason Rudolph, he takes a snap. He pretty much gets sacked by Miles Garrett. Well, he doesn't get sacked.
He gets knocked down by Miles Garrett. And Miles Garrett then doesn't get off of him.
And Rudolph pulls up the back of Garrett's helmet.
It looks like he's trying to get him off of him, but it's hard to tell if he was just trying to start a fight or if he was actually trying to push him off. And then a whole bunch of linemen rip him off. Then
Garrett, who's Garrett being held back, held back by a bunch of linemen.
Garrett wouldn't let go of, but Garrett wouldn't let go of Rudolph's helmet. Ends up taking Rudolph's helmet off and then hitting him over the top of the head with it,
which could have been very, very bad.
Yeah, there could have, depending on the damages inflicted, there could have been an investigation by police for assault. He could have been arrested because any normal person who hits someone over the top of the head with something like hard plastic slash metal is going to get probably arrested.
Yes.
And I was honestly kind of surprised. Like, I don't know if I'd say I was surprised that it was treated differently by police because of the way, because of the fact that it's a sport, and I guess it's like the NFL's discretion to punish the players.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still like basically aggravated assault on.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Mason's Rudolph is not the best charges on that.
I'm sure things could have happened if Mason Rudolph pressed charges, but no one really wanted that to happen.
Yeah. It'd just be a mess for the NFL. I was surprised that the NFL actually handled this well. They gave each organization a $250,000 fine, which is like whatever. But they suspended Garrett indefinitely for at least the rest of the season and the playoffs if the Browns even make it to the playoffs. This was just totally avoidable. It was 8 seconds left in the game.
Like, the game easily could have ended. This didn't have to happen. Like, the game was over.
If you want to do something stupid, do it after the game.
Yeah, meet in the, like, the hallway between the locker rooms. Like, come on now.
It's just totally unneeded. Like,
no need to do it on live television.
You're not going to see each other millions of people for the rest of the season. Just put it behind you and keep the season rolling.
Yeah.
Totally avoidable, but
there's no need to make your franchise and your coaches look bad on your behalf.
Garrett this week said that Rudolph used a racial slur, but also said that it was still not an excuse for what Garrett did on the field, which I agree with. If the Rudolph NFL used a racial slur, racial slur. If he used a racial slur, that's not good, obviously. And you know, but
the NFL wasn't able to find any proof that he did do that. But yeah,
interesting stuff, and I'm sure that story will start to will keep developing. Cam Newton, this is a rumor, Cam Newton would welcome a trade to the Bears, which, I mean, Mitch Trubisky isn't looking too good. I would like to see maybe Chicago stick with Mitch for at least half a season next year. Just kind of
why?
His only bad season has been this season.
It's consistently been awful. Like, he hasn't had one good game.
The thing is, when you put so much investment into a quarterback,
like, Baker Mayfield has at least shown glimpses of
Baker's not someone that you're considering getting rid of.
Yeah,
obviously,
Baker's still showing glimpses of being a quote good quarterback, but Trubisky has not shown one significant reason this season why he should be the quarterback of.
He showed flashes in his rookie season. He did. Like, how good he played at UNC in college for the year that he did start. But just how much the Bears have invested, you'd like to keep him a little longer. But, I mean, anything could happen there. And I think Cam obviously would welcome a trade to start anywhere because right now it looks like he's getting pushed out of Carolina despite Kyler throwing 3 interceptions last week. I mean, yeah. Le'Veon Bell, he has had 5 steroid tests in the past 10 weeks, according to him. He sent out tweets that he wants this to stop because it's ridiculous, obviously. I think that is ridiculous.
That is very excessive.
5 is a little much from the NFL.
Like, at that point, it's no longer a random drug test.
Yeah.
Like, come on. After the third one, you'd get that he's not on steroids.
And he's on the Jets anyways, so, like, if he's on the roids, he's not going to do anything.
Yeah, has he even been playing well?
Like, he's not even having a crazy season.
Yeah.
Like,
he's right behind a crappy line, so you can't really blame it all on him.
Yeah.
He's running behind a horrible
line. What made him so good in Pittsburgh was the fact that his offensive line was amazing.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't completely amazing. It's a good line.
It was a consistent –
Obviously, the way he has talent,
it was good
because he still had a few good games this season. He's still putting up decent numbers, but
yeah, he's talented. He's just not what he used to be because he doesn't have a line,
and he's getting older. And
that
he
too
did sign a huge contract, so maybe not as much motivation.
He just doesn't need to be good anymore, I guess.
U.S. Women's National Team player Carly Lloyd said that she would commit to the NFL if she could get into the NFL after the 2020 Summer Olympics. The Bears are a landing spot.
Yep,
obviously.
I was about to say that.
With their horrible kicking that will continue for the rest of eternity.
Yeah, I mean,
according to every Bears fan in existence.
You like to see Carly Lloyd like join the NFL. I mean,
I think it'd be interesting.
A lot of the punters and kickers who are in the NFL have like some sort of soccer experience at some point, maybe because it just helps with like leg strength and accuracy and just all that fancy stuff. But Carly Lloyd, definitely a very good technical player, so probably would be a pretty decent kicker. I mean, as they said, she was hitting like 65-yard field goals, as expected from a professional soccer player of her prowess. But I'd be all for seeing that happen. I think it would be interesting to see.
I'd like to see her succeed.
It can't hurt.
Yeah.
If she wants to do it, good for her. Go for it.
So gonna wait until after the Olympic Games if she does have a chance at that. But
she wants to get another gold with the USA women's national team.
Would get probably a little bit more money, especially, and would get a lot of media attention for being the first woman to make it into the NFL. So
yes,
that would be a good move for her in her best interests, I'm sure, and probably the NFL's as well. If she does turn out to be a pretty good kicker,
it definitely would put a bad face on the NFL if they rejected her.
Mm.
Especially
if she couldn't make it, but she's shown but that she
has shown in like possibly. Just random workouts that she can kick the ball.
Yeah,
like you know that because she's a soccer player. It's not that hard to figure out that she can kick a ball.
Yeah. Now on to college football. So Alabama has finally fallen to Louisiana State University, otherwise known as LSU, the house that Ed Orgeron built, Joe Burrow at the helm, you know, just perfection on offense. Their wide receivers are just amazing, and they just look really, really good. Bama lost to LSU 46-41 in a shootout. LSU was pretty much destroying in the first half, and then LSU pulled away. The next week, Tua dislocated his hip, and he's out for the year in a meaningless game against Mississippi State, which was just ridiculous for Nick Saban to even start him and play him. I mean, Mississippi State sucks, so why would you do that at all? Yeah, Nick Saban, you got to keep him in there. Mac Jones, like, you need to – I don't think he's going to do much. I don't think he's going to make it – into the playoffs for you guys. But right now, Alabama does stand outside. So, yeah. Oklahoma beat Baylor. Baylor blew a 28-3 lead. Baylor, another perfect, fell down. Also another perfect. And Minnesota fell down, and they lost to Iowa 23-19.
They joined the Atlanta Falcons in the sacred 28-3 score. So, yeah, it's symbolic. Just it's destined to happen.
And the rankings for this week is LSU at 1, Ohio State at 2, Clemson at 3, Georgia at 4, Bama at 5, and Oregon at 6. And that will be the top 6 for CFB this week. And that's it for college football. Now on to the MLB.
All right. So Pete Alonso won National League Rookie of the Year.
He won it pretty convincingly, although I think Fernando Tatis would have given him a pretty good contest had he been injured, had he been healthy the whole season. So yeah, he had a great season. He broke the record for rookies for home runs and for home runs in a rookie season with 53. He was just really great. The only downside was he was even an all-star. His only downside was his batting percentage, which wasn't even awful. So he deserved that award. Jordan Alvarez won AL Rookie of the Year. He hit 27 home runs in only 87 games, which was really impressive because the Astros didn't call him up until very late and they didn't play him every single game because he was not a great fielder. They only played him as DH, really. So to hit that many home runs in that amount of games was really impressive, and he also hit a decent percentage. It was really exciting to watch for the Astros. So
yeah,
he deserved to won that too.
Mike Trout won AL MVP. No surprise there. Just continuing to be the dominant player he is. And, yeah, it's just expected by now.
It's his third MVP. And some people said Alex Bregman should have won. But a lot of the major, journalism stuff had Mike Trout winning. And I think he really deserved this by playing less games and being on a non-playoff team.
Yeah. Cody Bellinger won the National League MVP.
He just had a great season. Cody Yelich obviously, Yelich. Oh my goodness, also had a great season, but he wasn't healthy the whole season. His injury really cost them. Someone could say that it cost him at the end. Bellinger had better defense, and even won a Golden Glove for his defense, which was the defining factor in his win over Christian Yelich, who really didn't play. I mean, he played decent defense, but it wasn't that type of defense. And Moxie wasn't healthy for the whole season, which really did cost them. But I think it was a great season by Bellinger, and he also played on the best team in the NL, which also helped his case. Jacob DeGrom won his second consecutive NL Cy Young. Obviously, played on the Mets, he didn't have the greatest win-loss record, but he had a great 1.89 ERA and was really great down the stretch. He was really impressive. He pitched really well. He was in a groove, and even though he had ups and downs throughout the year, he had it all going at the end and proved why he's such a great pitcher. In the AL, Justin Verlander won narrowly over his own teammate, Garrett Cole, who I thought should have won, but it was really tight. And honestly, Verlander did lead a lot of the categories. But any category that Verlander didn't win, Garrett Cole won. They were both really impressive. They both had over 20 wins. They both had sub-3 ERAs. They were just great across the board. And I think something that really helped Justin Verlander win was also his no-hitter he had earlier this season. And just did a great season for him. And he's definitely a great Hall of Famer. And it was a great season despite him being like 38 this season. One of the major free agents this year for the MLB, Garrett Cole, is unlikely to sign until January, which will leave a lot of teams on the edge as he decides what team he's going to next. This could change a lot of things. The major players are supposed to be the Angels or the Yankees. It'll be interesting to see what team he goes to. What are you thinking?
I really don't know much about this situation, but I mean,
yeah,
Garrett Cole, definitely a really good player. Definitely going to keep a lot of teams on the edge of their seat.
He had a historic season. He's probably going to command a lot of money.
Definitely going to put a lot of pressure on the Astros.
Yeah, and the Astros, who are also supposed to offer a contract, but he isn't expected to stay with them ultimately. I'd be interested to see what happens if he goes either way, because obviously the Angels would be really kind of weird because they don't have any other great pitchers and only be like Mitra offensively and other players. It'd probably just be a middle-of-the-pack team. At most, it'd be interesting to see how much the Astros offer and if he stays with them ultimately. Because honestly, team-wise, I'd probably be the best choice for him to stay with the Astros, where they already have other great pitchers. Mm-hmm. They're just in the World Series.
Yeah.
But we'll see. And then if he signed with the Yankees, it'd also be interesting as pitching is one of their few needs. And that would definitely be a contending team, for, even better contending team for years to come. Already a contending team, a young contending team. So that'd be really interesting. So the biggest scandal this week, that's come out like in the, that came out like a few weeks ago, a week or two ago, is the Astros cheating scandal. So first,
it has been officially confirmed that the Astros stole signs in 2017.
MLB, but it was first in an article by The Athletic, I think, and they alleged, like Mike Fired and stuff, alleged that the Astros, who used to be on the Astros, Mike Fires, as a pitcher, alleged that the Astros had a camera in center field, spying, looking at the catcher, opposing catcher, and they used that camera to steal signs, to analyze and steal signs from the opposing, and then relay the signs to their hitters to help them.
Via a trash can that they banged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some other teams like the Yankees and I think the White Sox and stuff also supposedly use other methods such as like whistling and things. And it's just really scandalous and kind of like discussing a lot in the baseball community, and rightfully so, because they're literally, because while stealing signs is a part of the game, a lot of people will tell you that doing it electronically is illegal. And
yeah, although like a lot of, you can like just kind of,
yeah, the classic is you on can, second base and just watching the, because you can see the catcher's signs.
You can just analyze what a pitcher's doing, like how he acts like before a certain pitch, but like, and like do that in your head or whatever, and communicate that to your teammates. But using electronics to get an advantage in that sort of way to look directly at the signs being given, it's just, it's dirty.
Yeah, it is. Supposedly they used they banged the trash can on an off speed pitch, and then when it was a fastball or something, they just wouldn't bang it. So obviously you would know. Obviously, hitting is a lot of, like, it takes a lot and it's a hard thing to do. But it certainly does help you know what the velocity is coming and what to expect. Because obviously
knowing the type of pitch isn't going to make you hit a home run every time.
Yeah.
But knowing if either a fastball is coming or a curveball is coming can be very decisive on the way you swing the bat. Because if you know a fastball is coming, you're going to put a lot of power into it, not going to focus as much on contact as you would for a curveball, as it is a moving pitch.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
And it's just a lot more easy to hit.
Are already so good, and they have to. And part of their job being so hard is that they have to know what pitches, they have to try to like guess what pitch is coming, how it's coming, where they're gonna, where the pitch is gonna place it, and like how best to hit it, and the scenario that's going on, like what count they're in, who's on base and stuff. So even though it doesn't define, like it doesn't give you an automatic hit, giving the type of pitch just gives them such an advantage. That's just really unfair, because obviously as Aiden said, if a fastball is coming, you know what, how to time that better than, and you don't have to expect too much like dip or break in the pitch. You know, if it's an off speed, like you can expect more, you obviously expect break in the pitch. You can obviously lean back on it and wait longer on it. So yeah, it's been a big scandal. The penalties are said to be possibly very severe. As the MLB obviously wants to set a standard here, they want to lay down like the hammer. They don't want this to ever happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've seen cheating, like signs stealing scandals like this. The Yankees have been accused of it. The Red Sox had the Apple Watch thing a few years ago. So obviously, the MLB has had enough of like anything, especially because this one's even worse than any other ones. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. The Padres may be out on Strasburg, on Steven Strasburg, on World Series MVP Steven Strasburg, and he could get a deal done before December 8th. That would be all earlier than other players like Gerrit Cole and stuff. It'd be interesting to see if Strasburg stays in Washington. I think he will. I think that's his best choice. I just really want to. I'd like to see this national team stay together, but. Yeah, they are said to be the favorites to get him, to re-sign him. That'll be interesting. I think that'd be in the best interest for all parties. The San Francisco Giants hired the former Phillies manager, Gabe Kepler. He wasn't really loved in his time in Philly, and this was kind of a shocking hire. by the Giants. A lot of people didn't really like him or want him, but it seems like they saw something in him that a lot of people didn't. They're in an interesting position, too, with an aging roster, and they need to get younger and stuff, so we'll see how that goes. The Cincinnati Reds are expressing interest in Cardinals player, the former Cardinals player, Marcell Ozuna. Obviously, the Reds are trying to rebuild, and they're in the process of doing that. They made a lot of trades last season and are working towards a better team. So it'll be interesting to see if they get the outfielder. Obviously, he's only 29, so he still has time to give him things. He's also wanted by other teams such as the Rangers, the D-backs. So, he could just resign with the Cardinals. We'll see where that goes. In a pair of moves running to their 40-man out roster, the Yankees released Jacoby Ellsbury. Sorry, I splintered that for some reason. They signed him, obviously signed him a big contract a few years ago. He's been injured. He didn't even play like any games last season. And on top of that, he was due $26 million due for next two seasons, and then a severance fee. But the Yankees are said to be withholding that money on the basis of that he visited a medical doctor without their permission, and they're holding on that basis. Obviously, the Players Association and Ellsbury will probably appeal and try to get that money. We'll see how that goes. The White Sox have been making big moves. They re-signed first baseman Jose Abreu to a good contract, and then they signed the best catcher on the market, Yasmani Grandal, on a 4-year, $73 million contract, and what turned out to be a great bet on himself by Grandal. As the offseason, he signed a 1-year contract with the Brewers, and it paid off. He had a great season, and now he got a big contract just like he wanted, and it paid off for him in a good way. The White Sox are looking for another big move and looking for Zach Wheeler. I like where the White Sox are going and being aggressive in the free agent market. What do you think, Ian?
I mean, you always like to see a team try and improve their roster, put themselves in a good position for winning championships, winning games.
They don't have the best farm system, but they already had some good places in pieces in place.
That's going to do it for Sports Pro Podcast episode 21. Thank you for listening. We will see you guys some other time, and we'll probably put up some YouTube clips sometime this week. So, have a nice day.